Really disturbing story today. One of Victoria's most senior police officers has quit after he was linked to racist and obscene comments online. Assistant Commissioner Brett Guerin reportedly made the comments under a fake name and he stepped down from his job today. It's been one of the biggest stories in Victoria. I think it's got a pretty big run across the country too. Some of those posts, they can't even be repeated on air. They're so offensive. They are incredible, you just staggering that somebody in such a high position would have posted these things. It's one of the highest profile cases of social media use bringing down a career in Australia. And of course, it raises some pretty important issues about the relationship between work and social media. Also, between the police and racism, of course, there have been accusations by some minority communities that the police don't always treat them the same as they treat other Australians, white Australians, Anglo-Australians. Employment law specialist Alana Heffernan joins me now to talk about some of those issues. Alana, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Patricia.
So the assistant commissioner was stood down and referred to Victoria's Anti-Corruption Commission. He then quit. But what is the law when it comes to a person's job and making these kinds of comments online? He was using a fake name and it was exposed that it was him doing it, but of course it was under a fake name. What does the law say?
There's no hard and fast law that actually deals with social media and employment and where those two intersect. And we're in an era now where the line is getting very blurry between the two, so it can be quite difficult for people to navigate their rights as an employee and their right to fairness and to have their own lives outside of work, but also their responsibilities to their employer and their colleagues.
So in this case, the comments, as I say, were reportedly made under a fake name. And so, you know, you couldn't tell that it was this police officer if you were to look online, not to, you know, the naked eye, unless obviously these investigations happened, no one would know. And the police officer has quit. He wasn't sacked. But when it comes to employment law, does making offensive comments under a false name provide any protection for a person making them?
Cases have gone either way in the past, but the way the courts are moving, the answer's becoming a bit more of a firm no, I think. Especially in his case, he actually was identifiable, even though he used a pseudonym, and I think he thought he was quite clever with hiding his identity. Someone obviously realised it was him online and submitted that to the Victorian Police a while ago, suggesting that it was him and that they needed to do something about it.
Yeah. You're an employment law specialist. You've represented many people who've got themselves into trouble at work for their social media use. In fact, I think this is really, you know, obviously this is an extreme case and this person has written, and I'm sure you've read the story, some pretty vile things. So this is exceptional in my view. But there are many other stories as well. What are the most common scenarios where people can find themselves under investigation or end up in mediation or even in court?
A lot of it comes around to what they're typing outside of work hours, similar to this case here. A very recent case, only a couple of weeks ago, someone had a few beers after work, decided to Facebook message some colleagues. It was very offensive content as well. It was pornographic. No one even complained to the employer about it, but when the employer found out about it, he was sacked and he just lost his unfair dismissal a couple of weeks ago.
That's really a fascinating story. So the people who were subjected to whatever this material was, which sounds awful, but they didn't complain. They didn't have an issue with it.
No, they didn't. And in fact, it's quite an extraordinary case in terms of how blurry that line is becoming between your employer's right to monitor what you're doing in relation to its workplace, but also your right as a private citizen. The employer investigated it and interviewed the recipients of the message, and none of them had a complaint about it.
And still, the employer made the decision that this was inappropriate as in a workplace, full stop, and won that.
They did. A lot of cases, employers have been successful in saying, well, the social media post or the offending post harmed the employer's reputation or their public image. And this was a bit different. This was about, well, you now involved your fellow employees in this. We have a responsibility to our employees in respect of harassment, having porn sent to them unsolicited. And it was that angle that they took when they terminated his employment. And it was that angle that ultimately the Fair Work Commission accepted.
How about a worker's right to just be themselves online out of working hours? I mean, I'm not talking about offensive material here. I'm talking about, you know, opinionated material or material that some people might find, contentious, but not blatantly racist or pornographic. Is that sometimes also problematic?
It does seem like that is disappearing, to be honest. More and more cases come up which appear to impinge on a person's right to be themselves. There does need to be some space for common sense. And there have been some cases that have come before the court where an employee has been able to defend their right to be themselves online within the confines of, you know, what is lawful and what is reasonable and what is not representing their employer.
And there are common themes in the kinds of online comments that can get people into trouble, right? More often. I mean, racist behaviour online is a problem that isn't going away. Is that, though, a relatively new phenomenon, or has it been an issue ever since the internet began in the 90s?
It's definitely not a new phenomenon. It was a bit easier to defend quite a few years ago. There was a very famous case a few years ago about a truck driver who posted some anti-Muslim and racist comments on his Facebook page, and he was dismissed. The court found that his dismissal was unfair. They accepted his evidence that he was a bit old and doddery and he didn't really understand how Facebook worked and didn't understand it was public. I don't think that defence would hold as much water nowadays, given how much experience we all have with social media and platforms like Facebook. But I think ultimately, if you're going to engage in conduct that's harassing or potentially unlawful, and, you know, inciting racial hatred is unlawful, then you can expect that your employer might have something to say about it.
And when it comes to the law of in relation to you, we just went to it a little bit. I'd love to expand on it in terms of racist beliefs. If you are, you know, you work anywhere, so it's not necessarily, you know, linked to your employment, and you go online, it's your own private Facebook, you've got 20 friends, and you, you know, do a status update that says something racist about Muslims or you know, new immigrants or something, in whatever case, that could get you sacked.
It could get you sacked. And I mean, people are obviously entitled to have their lives and have their opinions online, but caution needs to be taken. People need to be checking their privacy settings. Who are you friends with? If you want to be posting things that are controversial or might be offensive to some people, maybe have a look at the friends that you have online. And if they're your colleagues, then that's a high-risk behaviour. If you keep your Facebook profile completely private and you don't have any friends from work and you're unidentifiable as associated with your workplace, then the risk is lower.
The risk is lower, but if you have a fake name,
it won't save you necessarily.
No, it won't, will it?
No. There has been a case where a bloke who worked for Centrelink posted on Whirlpool forums. They're forums where people give each other advice about certain things. And he was under a fake name and he was critical of the department that he worked for. And they ultimately found out it was him and they sacked him. And he was reinstated. In his case, he was found to not have engaged in particularly offensive conduct. It was low-level criticism, and he'd been at the workplace for, you know, decades, and it was the first issue that had really come up for him.
I'm going to put a listener text to you before I let you go that says just this: so much for freedom of speech then. Do you think this does conflict with basic freedom of speech principles?
In terms of your general freedom of speech, it's not uncurtailed here in Australia. You do have freedom of speech in relation to political issues, but there's also an expectation that you won't engage in conduct that's vilifying of certain groups. So there's already laws that prevent you from inciting racial hatred or inciting hatred against someone because of their sexuality. In terms of your employer interfering with your freedom of speech, yes, there's definitely been a lot of cases where, you know, an employer, you know, as an employment lawyer, in my view, has overstepped the line and sort of impinged on your right to have a private life and talk about, you know, things that are of interest to you on your social media platforms.
It's such an interesting topic.
It is.
Particularly because so many of us work and also engage on social media. Thank you for explaining it to us, Alana.
No problem. Thank you for having me.